It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll hear from a guest who says the State of the Union address doesn't tell us much, so we'd be better off with a presidential question and answer session.
First, a lot of young people get arrested in this country, young men in particular, and young black men most of all, according to a new report.
We've got a co-author of the report with us. Michael Turner is an associate professor of criminal justice and criminology at the University of North Carolina in Charlotte. He and his colleagues published their new paper in the journal Crime and Delinquency. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with some of the most surprising numbers, or they were surprising to me anyway. The arrest rates for young men of different races, people arrested by the ages of 18 and 23. Can you talk us through those main findings?
So we've looked at two different points in time, like you said, 18 and 23. This actually comes up from a follow-up study that we had published a couple of years ago that did not disaggregate on race and sex, that basically found about a third of individuals reaching the age of 23 were actually arrested at some point in their life. So we got a lot of comments, a lot of feedback asking how those arrest rates varied across race and sex. And just to jump forward on the 23-year-olds, the main finding I think people are most astonished by is that roughly about 38% of white males were arrested by the age of 23. Number in about mid-40s, 44%, I believe, of Hispanic males, and 49% of African-American males were arrested by the age of 23. So that seems to be the one in two seems to be capturing the people's interest in terms of African-American males.
Was this a surprise to you? I mean, all those numbers sound high. I think if you'd asked me before I saw this study, I would have guessed a lot lower for all three of those categories. Were you surprised that those numbers were that high?
Well, following from the prior report, no. When we first did the first study, I was surprised that it was about a third. So I will say that. So we knew that with males being a higher rate of individuals in terms of a higher rate of criminal activity, we figured the numbers for males would be higher than the 30%. So they're not really that big of a surprise for us, I think, overall.
Now, we're talking about arrest here. That can be a pretty wide range of situations. It doesn't mean in all cases jail time or prison or anything like that. It could be arrested but released immediately, all the way up to arrested and eventually convicted. Is that right?
That is correct. Actually, it's anything other than a minor traffic or major traffic violation. So it could be anything from drug violations to DUIs to all the way up to, you know, more serious types of violent crimes. So that we do not know. We do not know the types of crimes that these individuals were arrested for. And we also don't know if they were, you know, arrested and then released without ever actually being booked or whatever. So there's a lot of things that we don't know. We just know, since this is a survey methodology, we just know that at some point they admit to having been arrested.
And that could be arrested once or arrested 10 or 20 times.
That is correct.
Are there arguments within the academic world of criminal justice about whether too many people are being arrested? Is this number or something the case that it's too high?
I don't know if it's too high. I mean, I don't know what the right number is. I think there has been discussion. You see it in the educational literature as well about the zero tolerance policies that came into effect, I'd say in the last 10 or 15 years, that pretty much are intolerant of minor forms of behaviors in schools. So where maybe a fight between some kids in schools 20 years ago, individuals might be suspended, they actually might be arrested now. Or minor forms of drug possession, again, might have served a suspension a couple years ago or a couple decades ago, now is serving is turning into an arrest. So, you know, it's those types of things that a lot of folks in the educational literature have been talking about, how it's the zero tolerance policies leading to more strict forms of arrest and then actually getting individuals caught up into the criminal justice system.
So as you mentioned, we saw a lot more men reporting having been arrested than women. We saw this racial disparity among men, 38% of white men saying they'd been arrested compared to 49% of black men. Do you see that similar racial disparity, though, among women?
No, the actual women, white women actually scored the highest in terms of had the highest prevalence rate. And I believe, I don't have the study in front of me, but I believe black women actually had the lowest prevalence rate of arrest. But those percentages were only a couple percentages different. I believe white women were in the the low 20s, and the black women are in the high teens, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Looking into impact, your paper cites existing research into the effects of arrest on a young person's future. What, from the literature out there, what are some of the problems these arrests can lead to down the road?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is employment. So, you know, a lot of folks, I mean, lots of folks out of jobs and folks looking for jobs, you know, employers are looking for ways in which to, you know, cut down the pool of individuals in terms of trying to find employees. So asking individuals if they have been arrested, which is traditional, it's not uncommon, but asking them if they've been arrested can have an impact on whether individuals can move forward into the employment world. So it might have an impact on their labor opportunities, their employment opportunities, but could also have a variety of other impacts. Particularly on housing, on adoption, on choice of mate. You know, I mean, you're asking individuals if they would choose an individual who had been arrested. It may impact individuals' decisions. So there's a lot of social circumstances that could evolve that may be impacted as a result of having that label of having been arrested.
It seems like when you're trying to figure out the impact of that initial arrest on someone's life, there's got to be a lot of chicken or the egg going on there. Is there something that happened before the arrest? Parenting, financial issues, abuse, bullying, things like that, that make it more likely that they'll have a bad life, including that arrest? Or is there something inherent in being arrested that's going to make your life work? Can you talk about teasing that out a little?
Yeah, we didn't look at that, but you're asking a really good question. So what I understand that you're saying is basically what are the things that might have occurred? I mean, arrest oftentimes doesn't occur in a vacuum. It can, but oftentimes it doesn't. That typically the individual is doing a variety of other things, and we know that individuals typically don't specialize. So there's probably a variety of other things that's going on in their lives, behaviors that they're getting involved in, that actually might warrant an arrest. Now, those things are also related, as you pointed out, to a variety of family circumstances, you know, socioeconomic status or circumstances, school-based circumstances, peers, all of those things that we know that are associated with an individual getting involved in delinquency and ending up in arrest. So you're right. There are a lot of things that may have been causally related to the arrest, but that's really not what our study focused on. Our study really was focusing on just trying to understand, hey, at a given age, in a given cohort, what proportion of that population at that age has actually experienced that arrest? So we haven't gone down in terms of trying to understand what were the causal factors related to that arrest.
Looking ahead from this research that you did, what do we know from this? Are there actions we can take based on the disparities that you found? Or what's the next step? What do we need to know with this as a starting point?
Well, I think one of the things that you see actually in the educational literature is schools are starting to back down from the zero tolerance policies. I think, you know, educational administrators are finding it a little frustrating that they have no flexibility and discretion in terms of dealing with their students. So I think what you see is a little bit of the waning of the zero tolerance policy. So that, and not as a result of this study, but coexisting at the same time as the publishing of this study. So there's a little bit there, but there's a lot of other questions that we don't really have a good handle on. And you touched on a couple of them earlier. I mean, what proportion has been incarcerated by a certain age? What proportion actually get bullied at various ages? And how might those effects of an incarceration or bully or suspension or anything like that, how might those things kind of affect the life course of the individual in terms of the path and the opportunities that they would have over the course of their life?
We're talking with criminology professor Michael Turner. He's the co-author of new research showing that large numbers of young men have been arrested by the time they reach age 23. Here are the numbers. Almost 40% of young white men, 44% of Hispanic males, just under half of young African-American men.
And we want to hear your thoughts, your questions, and experiences. Were you arrested in your youth, and how did it affect you? And why do you think so many young men are arrested in this country? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. We continue our conversation now with criminology professor Michael Turner from the University of North Carolina. He's co-author of a new paper showing high arrest rates for young men, with just around 40% of white men and half of black men facing arrest by the time they're 23.
And you can join the conversation. Are you surprised hearing those numbers? Once young people are in the criminal justice system, make that first contact by being arrested, what do you think it takes to get them back out? And if you are in law enforcement or maybe relevant social work or even faced arrest yourself early in your life, please call in and share your experiences. The number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Joe with us in Eau Claire. Joe, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I guess a comment about my experience being arrested as a teenager and the effect that it's had on the rest of my life. When it comes to jobs, it has impacted my ability to find a job, even as an adult, so tremendously. I was arrested for minor THC charges when I was 17 or 18. I plead out to a plea agreement that eventually would expunge my record if I met certain conditions. And I found that actually never was expunged. It was deleted from the public record. If you go on a Wicca, you know, it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
But
if somebody does a criminal background check?
Exactly. It still shows up. And there's, I was actually surprised on the 46% of black males are arrested before 23. That's actually lower than what I would have expected. But the difference between the African American and white Caucasian young males there's a big enough difference there that still it should be alarming to most people. It looks like we still have a racial disparity when it comes to arrests. I think police officers are much quicker to arrest young African Americans. And finally, I think we just live in a police state. Now, that might sound really shocking to somebody because we live in a democracy, but a police state doesn't necessarily have to mean a dictatorship. And I think we've just sort of been the frog in the pot of boiling water. We haven't noticed it because it all grew up around us.
Gotcha. Joe, I want to jump in. You brought up a lot to talk about there. Where to start? Michael, one thing there, he's talking about the disparity in arrests between young white men, young black men. Is this something that you think, in aggregate, all put together, I mean, it might account for part of the economic future, the economic prospects, if you're a young black man or a young white man, this arrest disparity?
Well, absolutely it does, particularly for those arrested. But one thing I was going to say is, you know, there's two sides of that coin. So with regards to blacks being arrested at higher rates, one side of that coin says that perhaps, you know, there might be some racial profiling going on from the department, and that we seek out and might be quicker to arrest black males than white males, you know, accused of equal crimes. So that's one side of the coin. Or the other side of the coin is that black males might actually be committing crimes that are more arrestable and more that grab the attention more of the police, and might be more likely to get victims or witnesses to call the police when they see such crimes happening. And that we don't know the answer to. You know, I'm not saying that either of those answers is correct. I'm saying that we don't know what the answer is right now to sit and say that African Americans either are being targeted discriminatorily or that they're committing more serious crimes. We just don't know that. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, you're right that an arrest, as Joe just pointed out there, certainly has impacted his opportunities and his employment opportunities and his financial well-being. And I suspect that's true of a lot of individuals as well.
And Joe also mentioned that idea of having your record as a teenager expunged later. He, if we just went and looked him up online on the state database, he might not show up, but he says it hasn't been expunged from a criminal background check. Are states moving in the direction toward or away from expunging teenage criminal records, arrest records?
You know, different states have different laws and different processes in which how to expunge records. But what I always tell students in my class is that, look, in this day and age with computers, if you've been arrested, I would expect that everyone can find your arrest record at one point or another. And that seems to be consistent with what Joe's saying, that even though they told him it's expunged, even though he met the requirements, that overall, that if you look hard enough, you will find a record that indicated that he was arrested. And I tell my students the same thing.
We'll go back to our callers now. We've got Chris on the line joining us in Madison. Chris, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, when I was, well, actually, my 18th birthday, I went out and bought a $500 worth of fireworks. That was like 40 years ago. And they weren't quite legal then, but what the hell, I bought them anyway. Mm-hmm. I lit them off, and I lit a bunch off, and next thing I know, I have a cop pulling me over and opened the trunk, and he had about a coronary because he figured I had about 4 sticks of dynamite worth of fireworks in the trunk of my car. Nowadays, if a kid did that, he would go to a federal prison for being a terrorist.
So you didn't have, you weren't arrested for that then, Chris?
Oh, I was arrested. I was taken to prisons or jail and booked in and spent the night. Got up the next morning. They saw the judge. He looked at me. He called me stupid. He gave me a $300 fine and 8 hours community service to shoot him off the next year for a fireworks celebration.
All right, Chris. Well, you got to see the fireworks after all. Michael, we've seen over the years, you mentioned zero tolerance in schools. We've also seen changes in criminal justice policy, minimum sentencing, 3 strikes. Are we more prone with that initial arrest, do you think, to see more punitive action from square one?
Well, I certainly think in the 80s we really started getting tougher on a lot of different types of crimes, particularly drug-related crimes, and particularly crack cocaine. So, yes, we have had a quote-unquote pardoning, you know, in terms of intolerance of certain types of activities, and those things change over the time. And I always describe it as kind of a pendulum effect, that over time there will be always a softening and a hardening of certain types of crimes, and, you know, for the last, you know, 20 or 30 years, we seem to be in a point in which, you know, for certain types of crimes, we do get a little bit tougher on them.
Thanks for the call, Chris. We've got Mike in Madison on the line now. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Yeah, I think, you know, what the other caller mentioned about Wisconsin Circuit Court access is really doing our citizens of this state a disservice, putting all the arrest records, whether or not the person's found guilty or not, online. It's still, you know, can hurt an individual trying to find a job. You add that into the recall election petition. You know, people can search that now online database and determine whether or not they like your political viewpoint. Michael, I could look you up right now while we're talking here and see what your record is online and decide whether or not I want to hire you or not based upon what I see. I think that whole thing needs to be taken offline. There should be a fee to access the data. Hiring HR folks from out of state can search online for Wisconsin's database if the individual had any ties to Wisconsin and see if the person's ever been arrested.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I want to jump in. And Michael, thanks for sharing that thought, Mike. Michael, in our last minute or so, another topic I know you study is the factors that might lead people, young people in particular, away from crime once they've had that first arrest or that first offense. Briefly, are there some things that give you hope that first arrest doesn't have to lead to a future in the criminal justice system?
Well, yeah, I think there are some individual resiliency factors, if you will, or protective factors that might insulate you from, you know, kind of the things or the causal factors that might lead you to a life of crime. Things that occur within your individual self, incurring, you know, in your own psychology, your ability to overcome change, overcome challenges, There's some social things, you know, connections with families, things of those sorts, and, you know, connection with the community. Those things are all have been found to be insulative in terms of kind of protecting an individual from getting involved in serious types of crime.
Michael, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
That was Michael Turner. He's Associate Professor of Criminal Justice and Criminology at the University of North Carolina in Charlotte. We've been talking about a report he co-authored about arrest rates for young Americans.